Psalms 19. We're going to go there tonight. And I hope that as you read Psalms 19, those of you that have taken the journey with me 4 weeks in a row as we have broken down this psalm and preached through it, I truly hope that when you read it from now on, you'll just be reminded instantly of some things. The first part of the psalm there, everything God created, he created to bring glory to himself. Yeah, by the way, keys to a clean heart. And we're the crowning jewel of his creation. So if any part of his creation, you know, I was thinking, when I was just sitting there reading, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And I thought, well, can't we do as much as the heavens and the firmament? We're the crowning jewel of God's creation. Wouldn't it be nice if God could have put mankind declares the glory of God and his behavior showeth his handiwork? You know, folks, the firmament wasn't made in the image of God. The firmament wasn't given an eternal, never-dying soul. And so you think about everything God created, he created to bring glory to himself. Number two, the Bible is God's word and tells us how to bring glory to God. And that's what that beautiful segment, I love that segment, verse 7 on down through verse number 11, where it talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right. We taught all the way down through that. And then we got to a week ago Sunday, and we began to talk about the inner hidden things of the heart. We talked about the errors and the secret faults and the presumptuous sins. And I'm not going to reteach that. But folks, if you get verse number 12 and verse number 13, that will get you to verse number 14. I promise you. But you're not going to get 14 without going through 12 and 13. You're just not going to get there. And one of the things we have to understand is, you know, errors is our going astray or drifting off course, sins committed in ignorance, secret faults to hide by covering, sins committed in secret, presumptuous sins, sins committed in pride and arrogance. And the Bible says and warns us that they can have dominion over us. And that's what prevents us from being upright. And by the way, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Long before you see somebody do something very public and shocking and have a great fall in their life, I promise you there were some secret things. There were some presumptuous things. There was some error that they didn't pay attention to, didn't take care of. And so that's so important. Now, the whole goal of this was to get us to verse number 14. I told everyone from the very first Sunday that that's where we're going to try to get to by the end of the month. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And of course, from verse number 12 down to verse number 14, that is our memorization section. So let's all stand together and we'll read it together. Verse 12, verse 13, and verse 14. Read it together one more time. Ready? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Heavenly Father, bless us, Lord. Help us, dear God, to have gotten here, Lord. We set it as a goal at the beginning of the month to take a journey together on Sunday mornings. And Lord, we weren't able to meet last Sunday morning, but here we're going to conclude it on the very last service of January. It may be very fitting that, Lord, you save this back for tonight. And so, Lord, we've gotten to verse 14. Now help us to look at it tonight. There's so much here in one verse and so many things that can help us to get to where we need to be with you and to stay where we need to be once we get there. Lord, thank you for remembering that we're but dust. Thank you for the patience that you show and the forgiveness that you offer. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. I love the fact that this verse starts with the word let, because Lord, we know that we can't get here or stay here without your help. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we study this tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church, for standing. Let the words of my mouth, think about how this ends, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So this is where we want to get to in our Christian life. If we can get to the point where We have a desire for everything that we say, the words that come out of our mouth, and everything that we meditate, the things that we meditate in the depths of our heart, if we can get to the point where our desire is that those things be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, then folks, that's a good place to get to in your Christian life. I want to walk through this verse, okay? And I want to talk to you about this. Very interesting. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart. Why just those two things? Because if you can get those two things in the right place, I'm going to show you that everything else will take care of itself. What's our two biggest problems? Words of our mouth. What's the other biggest problem? Meditation of our heart. How are these linked together? You're already thinking, you know? And so first of all, I'm going to point out several things. Number one, notice the order. Now, this might seem backwards to us if we're not careful. I love the fact that when the Bible puts something in a certain order, come on, God doesn't make a mistake. Don't ever look at a scripture and say, well, it would have been better if he put this here and moved that one over here. If God put things in a certain order, he did it for a reason. Now, my inclination would be, well, let's start with the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But God said, no, let's start with your words. Now, isn't that interesting? You know why, folks? Because the fastest and most accurate way to properly diagnose the condition of your heart is to listen to your words. And we got to be so careful, because the heart of man can be deceitfully wicked. And if we're not careful, we can convince ourselves that we're okay when we're not okay. All right, let me just ask you this, and I won't ask you to raise your hand. I'll raise mine, but I don't. Have you ever really gotten sideways, away from the Lord, kind of backslidden, and you know what? You were convinced you were fine. All right, it's easy to get there. And then all of a sudden, God brings you to a point or a place where he opens your eyes through a message, through the Word of God. Come on, through some revival meeting, some sermon that's preached, and all of a sudden you think, I've been walking around thinking I'm just fine, and I'm probably farther away from God than I've been in a long time. And so if we're not careful, listen, I think this is true of all of us. Most of us, it's a lot easier to diagnose other people's problems than it is to diagnose our own. And so God says, I'm going to give you a way so you can properly diagnose your heart. And he said, now, the way you're going to do that is you need to listen to your words. Well, I want you to listen to that. The greatest way to diagnose the condition of your heart is by listening to the words of your mouth. Now, stop listening to everybody else and trying to diagnose them, all right? Listen to your own words. I've often thought if we could just put a little tape recorder, come on, in a microphone like this, and then just record everything we say in a week, and then really sit down after a time of prayerful contemplation and listen to all of it, maybe we would be aghast. Maybe we would honestly be shocked at some of the things that we said so thoughtlessly. And that wasn't acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And so I'm gonna challenge you. I want you to spend this last little stretch that we have left of January. Come on, we said we wanted to get here, right? And so let's really listen to ourselves. Let's really think about what we're saying. Because, folks, the greatest way to diagnose the condition of your heart is by listening to your words. Because the Bible, Jesus is the one that taught this. He said, every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do gather figs, do not gather figs, nor of the bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So listen, I can sit there and say that my heart's good and pure. But folks, if my words is telling me something if I'll listen to them. Okay, so think about that. It is hard to self-evaluate. That's why the Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Think about that. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own. You know we can deceive our own selves? And because we know the Bible, come on, that's what it's saying here. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And we raise up a whole bunch of kids around here that know the Bible. I mean, come on, if we're doing our job, they know the Bible. So come on, young people, you can give me the right answer. But there's a difference between being able to give me the right answer, the knowledge of the Bible, and living the Bible. And sometimes because you think you know the right answer, you think you're right. But you know what will help you self-diagnose is your words. Think about that. Okay, one of the most common attributes of a backslider is that he does not think he's backslidden. You can be wrong in God's sight while being right in your own sight. Okay, so how do I know if my heart's right, preacher? Listen to your words. Listen to your words. Come on, young people. I want to help you, okay? Let's spend the next week being hyper attentive to what comes out of our mouth, because your words will reveal that something is wrong. But it only not only will reveal that something's wrong, your words will reveal to you what that something is. Let's think about that a minute, okay? I want you to listen to yourself. And if several times in the next week you find yourself being critical, can I tell you why? Because you're a critic. It's a condition of your heart. Doesn't mean you have to stay that way. But sitting around fooling yourself and acting like you're not a critic when your words are telling you constantly that you're criticizing this and criticizing that. Come on. If you can constantly point out the faults of everybody else, but you can't see your own, then you know why? Because in your heart, you're a Pharisee. Because that's what the Pharisees did. Okay? If you listen to your words and you're lying all the time, can I tell you why? It's good for us, okay? Because you're a liar. In your heart, you're a liar. And pretending it's not true isn't going to change anything, because your words are witnesses against you when it comes to the condition of your heart. Young people, you snarky with mom and dad regularly? Come on. You always got to come back. You always got to challenge everything they ask you to do. You know why? Because in your heart, you're a rebel. Well, I don't think I am. Well, listen to your words. Because your words will tell you who you are. And so listen and think about it. And so let's really examine our words, okay? Come on, young ladies and young men. If the majority of the things that you've talked about with your friends this week is gossip, and that's what's coming out of your mouth, you know why? Because you're a gossip. You're a little stinking gossip. You don't have to stay that way. But if that's what you're constantly talking about, I promise you that's what you are in your heart. Isn't this good for us? So what we need to do is understand God didn't get this out of order. He said, you know what? It might seem backwards to y'all, but if I put it this way on purpose, because if you'll start by saying, let the words of my mouth and be acceptable and nice. We're going to get to the meditation heart, but let the words of my mouth, because if you'll listen to your words, it will help you to properly evaluate the meditations of your heart. And so we need to emphasize the importance of the words of our mouth. So notice the order. Number one, then number two, notice the importance of the words of our mouth. And our words are powerful, folks. This is why we're going to get to the heart, okay? But the words are just helping us diagnose things. Words are powerful. And one of the greatest battles you'll fight in your life is the battle in controlling your tongue. I mean, James takes almost an entire chapter 3, and just warns us again and again and again that I'm going to tell you something, the biggest battle you're going to have on your hands is with this thing right here. And so why are words so important, preacher? Well, because words can, listen to what I'm going to say here, words can inject life or inflict death. Words can inject life or inflict death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now think about this. Is what I'm saying infusing life or inflicting death? I want my words to infuse life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, life is good. Death is not good. Okay? The Lord always wants to bring life into something. The devil always wants to bring death into something. I don't want to help the devil with that. And so what I need to understand is I need to listen as I'm listening to my words, saying, am I injecting life or am I inflicting death? Now think about this. Come on, married couples. Let's start with us, okay? Let's start with the adults. Let's beat the adults in the room, okay? Think about this, sir. Let's start with us men. Come on, we're supposed to be in the leadership here. The words you say to your wife, are they injecting life and health into your marriage? Or are they inflicting death? Are they injecting life or inflicting death? And so listen very careful to the, not only just what you say, but the tone in which you say it. Hey, you know what? Use your tongue to infuse life, inject life into your marriage. Children, listen to your words. And by the way, parents, let's listen to the way we talk to our kids. You know, you can literally inflict death with your words, or you can inject or infuse life into your children just by the use of your words. Hey, let's be maybe a little more hypersensitive to the way we're using our tongue around the church, okay? Because we can use it one or two different ways. We can help bring death into our congregation. We can help infuse life into our congregation. You've got to decide what you're going to use that tongue for. I speak sometimes of the teenagers because I'm trying to help you get on the victory side at a young age. I'm not picking on you, but I point you out on purpose from time to time, because if you can get this battle won in your youth, it's going to help you all through your life. But you know what? You're either, come on, think about this. You're injecting life into the youth group, or you're inflicting death. You're injecting life into the Christian school, or you're inflicting death. And it's all by what you say. What are you talking about? What are you saying? All right, so think about that. Words are so powerful. Also, words are a window to the condition of your heart. We've already mentioned that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Words are so important to God. Now think about how important words are to God. Words are so important to God that he will, this is what he said, Jesus said it, he will require from us an accounting of our words. Now that ought to help us to tap the brakes a little bit before we decide to speak, you know. Because he said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And he says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Boy, we ought to slow down a little bit here, okay? Where are we trying to get to? Our words of our mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. God starts with the words first, because words are a powerful thing. Words are so potentially dangerous that God set aside an entire chapter in James to warn us of our tongue's destructive potential. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Goes on to say, hey, if you can bridle your tongue, you'll be able to control your whole body. And you watch somebody that can't control this, a lot of times there's other areas where they have problems of the flesh. And so the tongue's the key. Hey, he said, if you can bridle this, the rest of it is not going to be that hard. And so but how do we do that when the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame? So how do I have a chance? Well, you can't do it, but with God's help. That's why the verse started, let the words, it's a prayer, let the words, Lord, I need your help in this. He's going to say at the end of it, my strength and my redeemer. God can give you the strength to do it. He can help you to tame that thing. But listen to me, it has such potential for dangers. Since you cannot tame the tongue, then you'd better tend to your heart. We're going to get to the heart next. Since we cannot tame our tongues, then we better tend to our heart. What's the best way to tame the tongue? Is get the heart right. Because out of the abundance of the heart, we're going to get there. But what we need to diagnose ourselves, the best test for our words is found in this verse. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That's the best thing that we can say. See, preacher, I need to slow down. I need to pause. I need to think before I speak. What should I be thinking? Okay, the words that are about to come out of my mouth, are they acceptable in God's sight? Listen, folks, that's the challenge. That's the goal. That's where we're going to get to at the end of this Bible study, okay? That's where we're trying to get to. You get to the point where what matters to God matters to you most. And you know what? If God's happy and everybody else is sad, then they'll just have to be sad. But you'll find out this. If you're doing the things that make God happy, the people that love God will be happy also. And the people that don't, big deal. Big deal. You know, let's just focus on him. And now, words just aren't spoken. Come on. A lot of times they're typed out. So come on. Technology has allowed us to use our words. And sometimes people will type things and send it that they would never say to somebody's face if they were standing right in front of them. So here you go, the power of the tongue. I preached a whole message to a youth group one time entitled The Power of the Thumb, because the thumb's the last thing you use when you hit send. And I said, what you better figure out to do, because literally I've watched good young people cross lines through texting that they would have never crossed if they'd have been talking to the person in public. So what's the last thing I think of or why do before I hit send? What you better think of is read that over and say, is these words acceptable in thy sight? If not, then you know what you do. You just push your thumb against it. And I used to backspace everything because I didn't know how to. I hope you're listening. I'm teaching you how to use a smartphone, okay? And I'm the man. I am the man to do it. But you just highlight it all and then put the backwards button on and get rid of that thing and just say, Lord, thank you for not letting me send that. Come on, have you ever sent something later on said, you should have left it alone? Have you ever said something and later on have God wake you up in the middle of the night and say, that wasn't for me, that wasn't acceptable in my sight? You know, so let's slow down a little bit in the use of our words. Number three, the importance of the meditation of the heart. We're getting down to the heart. God's going to get us there. This phrase reminds us of the link between the mind and the heart. Folks, I want you to hear this. The battle between spirituality and carnality is fought in a person's mind because there's a link between our mind and the heart. Now, think about this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. You'll see this a lot in the Bible, where the Bible uses a word that would be connected to the mind, but he also connects it to the heart. Meditation is something that you do in your mind, but folks, never forget, whatever you think about affects your heart. Your feelings affect your thoughts, and your thoughts affect your feelings. And if you're not careful, don't let emotions run the show. You're going to be in trouble a lot. You've got to start up here thinking right. If you think the right things, if you think the right way, how many times have you heard your preacher say this? I hope long after I'm gone, somebody says to somebody else, you know, Pastor Jerry Ross used to say, if you think the right things, you'll feel the right things. And if you think the right things and are feeling the right things, you'll make the right decisions. And it's, where does it start? In our meditations. Now think about that. Meditation is something that I don't think is probably presented enough in our churches today. The art of biblical meditation may be the most important of all Christian disciplines. Let's go over to Psalms 1, okay? Save your place there in 19, but just a few pages back. You all know it. Most of you can quote it. We've had you memorize it. If you grow up here, I'd be shocked if you can't quote the entire chapter. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why are you blessed if you don't do that? Because you hang around that crowd, you're going to be thinking wrong. You're going to be thinking wrong. And then you're going to be feeling wrong. And then you're going to make dumb decisions. And so God says, first of all, get the wrong kind of influences out of your life. But instead of that, well, don't create a vacuum. Something's got to fill that. But his delight, isn't that what we've emphasized this month? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. I love that word delight. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to delight in the Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. If we're talking about Bible meditations, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, there's power in meditating on the right things, and there's great danger in meditating upon the wrong things. Come on, you can think yourself into depression. You ever done it? I have. I mean, you can think yourself down a dead-end road. You can think yourself to despair. You can think yourself to the point where you think everybody's against you. You can think yourself to the point where you think God's against you. Where does it all start? Right up here. So how do we prevent going down these dead-end roads? We get on a good way, a good path, and we get into the Bible, and we meditate on the Word of God. Meditation on the Bible is so important. He said, meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. You see, folks, this idea of our morning devotions, this idea of reading the Bible every morning, this idea of really looking for something while you're doing it and getting a seed thought from the Scripture and then just kind of, you know, mulling over that thing all through the day because it prevents you from creating a vacuum. David said this, vain thoughts do I hate. You know what vain thoughts is? Just daydreaming, just empty thoughts, just a vacuum created in your head where anything can come in. But if you take and are very purposeful, kind of talking about Christian disciplines here. Maybe the most important of all the Christian disciplines is disciplining your mind and training your mind when it has a void or has some thinking time to make sure you're thinking on positive things and especially on the Word of God. Feast on it. Feast on it. And so what's the promise? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Sounds like pretty good results. I mean, sounds like something I'd like to be able to experience on a daily basis. You know, you think about that. Tree planted by the rivers of water. Think about that. You're there soaking up the right stuff. Healthy, bring forth fruit, prosperous, productive in your Christian life. His leaf also shall not wither. And so, you know, what you're a health, you're spiritually healthy. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. And you kind of, God gives you, starts giving you kind of that Midas touch. You know, it just seems like anything you touch turns to gold. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm just talking about, you know what, God starts using you. That's a good way to live. Well, what's between where I'm at and experiencing that? What you're doing with this? What you're doing with this? And so the devil, he's real good about taking your mind down all kinds of dead-end roads. Stop letting him lead you. And decide that I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to discipline myself. Importance of the meditation of the heart. The battle between spirituality. I'm going to say this one more time. We'll go on. The battle between spirituality and carnality is fought in a person's mind. It's fought in a person's mind. Number four, let's look at the full meaning of the word acceptable. I like to every once in a while chase a word down, and take my little mouse and put the arrow on it and click it and take a look at the Greek meaning of it or the Hebrew meaning of it. And this word is rasun, and it means delight, to find favor, to enjoy with good pleasure. Let the words of my mouth and the think about this. Come on, are you meditating? Or you already let the devil take your mind down some dead-end road and you're not even, you checked out 15 minutes ago. You know why? You're undisciplined in your thinking. If you can't win this battle, you're going to live a frustrated Christian life. Come on, young men. You ought to start making it a challenge. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to listen to the preacher and I'm going to engage my thought. And I'm going to do it for the whole sermon. I'm not going to let the devil steal 1 second of it. If you can do that for a whole sermon, it sounds so easy. Come on, adults. All right, I'm picking on them, but how hard? Come on, it is. I never lose my train of thought when I'm preaching. But I don't always keep it when I'm listening to a sermon. Yeah, it's easy for me because I'm up here and I'm mentally engaged in this. But it's called a Christian discipline. You know, to really sit there and listen and say, Lord, teach me and think about it. And so that word rasun, think about this. The word acceptable means to delight, to find favor, to enjoy with good pleasure. Now think about that, okay? So let's imagine God in heaven and he says to the angels, hey, come over here. Let's just wait for a few minutes because Jerry Ross is going to say something. And man, every time he speaks, it just brings me such delight. It brings me so much good pleasure. Come on, think about that. Wow, isn't that supposed to be the goal? You know, I enjoy listening to him speak. That's the way our words of our mouth are supposed to do. That's what the meditation of our heart is supposed to do. It is to delight the Lord. We sometimes look at the word acceptable like, well, it's just barely. No, it's not just, you know, we're not talking about minimum here. We're talking about talking in such a way that delights God. Think about that. We've spent a whole month getting here. How do I do that? I realize that everything God created is supposed to bring him glory. So what am I going to say? What am I about to say? Is that going to glorify God? And you know, the word of God can help us. I don't have time to go through it tonight, but if you get the teenage years of Jesus Christ, I've had so many people tell me this has been revolutionary in their life, but there's the 10 laws of excellent speech in there. The book of Proverbs. I talk about James. The book of Proverbs, of all the books, has more to say about what we say and how we say it than any other book in the Bible. Next time you read through Proverbs, just take a highlighter, maybe a green highlighter, a yellow highlighter, and every single proverb where it talks about something about the mouth, just highlight it. And then after you get done, just flip through it. You know what you're going to figure out? Wow, God, it really matters to God. Okay? You shouldn't walk around just, you know, popping off at the mouth anything that, any carnal thought that comes in your head or any, you know, think about it. This is a big deal to God. And I want God to delight in the words of my mouth, to delight in the meditation of my heart. God should look down upon us and sometimes tell the angels, I sure love listening to him. talk. I sure love listening to that young lady talk. She always pauses. She always thinks. She always says something that's going to bring me glory or be acceptable, a delight in my ears. Boy, if we can get there and stay there, folks. Think about that. Number five, think about the supernatural maturity of the phrase "in thy sight." The supernatural maturity in this little phrase, "in thy sight." What do you mean, preacher? The greatest goal of a Christian should be this: to get to the point where all that matters to you is what God thinks. That's what matters. If you're focused on pleasing God, and I said this a minute ago, but I believe people who love God will be pleased also. I do think that. And the rest of them, you know, remember this, you shouldn't really care what they think. Because if you are pleasing the Lord and somebody else is critical about what you're doing, then that's their problem. That's not really your problem. And so think about the supernatural maturity. Could we get to here? We spent a month. We've asked God to help us. We focus on the subject of holiness, keys to a clean life. Could we just really walk here? Could we ask God to help us to stay here for the rest of this year? And I think if we do, boy, we're going to be in a position to make a difference, to be the difference. I just do. I just think if we can work from the inside out, because I can get you busy doing all the February through December things, and we can do it, but the best chance of it really making a difference in somebody's life is it comes from the inside out. And so think about that. All right, number six, and we're done. The two greatest reasons to put the Lord as our first consideration. What are the two greatest reasons to put the Lord as our first consideration? Well, we'll go back, take one more quick look at Psalms 19. Look at the very closing part of this verse. He says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." Then he finishes by saying this, "My strength and my redeemer." Preacher, I don't know if I've got the strength to live this way and to be this way and to maintain this. That's why we finish this psalm by being reminded he's got to be our strength in this. Hey, you know what? Look right up here. I don't care how determined you are to do this. Before the week's out, you'll mess up. Okay? And so don't think you're going to walk out here and do it in your own strength. But here's the thing. It's not the fact that we messed up. It's what are we going to do when we mess up? Because, you know, we need to stop. We need to do this more often. Come on, all of us. Have we got so proud in our Christian life we can't just stop, bow our head, and just say, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I think I just shamed you. That wasn't acceptable. That wasn't a delight. I am so sorry." And if we can be humble enough to get there, doesn't mean we can live there all the time, but we know what to do when we don't live up to it. We want to be right with the Lord. He's the source of my strength. Come on, that word strength comes from the word boulder or rock. And it's not just a rock to stand on. It's a rock that becomes your refuge. It's a rock to hide behind, to seek shelter under. Come on, think about this. The one who allows me to be strong by being strong. There is one that allows me to be strong by being strong for me. He's the source of my strength. Lord, I want to live here, but I can't do it without you. Let the words of my mouth. It's a plea to God. I need your help in this. It's not a declaration of what I'm going to do in the flesh. It's a prayer pleading for God's help to be able to live this kind of a life. He's the source of my strength, folks. Come on. Without him, think about this. We talk about the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart. Without him, I could not speak. I wouldn't have the strength to speak. I could not think without Christ. Since he has given me the strength to do these things, please, Lord, let me use them for your glory. Let's make sure that our meditation, our words are acceptable in his sight. My strength and my redeemer. That's another really, really good reason to do this. You know why? Because Jesus saved me. He saved me. Came and died on a cross for me. Didn't have to do that. Defeated death for me. Building a mansion for me. The word redeemer, if you look up that word, it literally means to buy back. But think about this. God created me. Satan stole me. And then Jesus bought me back. Woo! Come on. Because of this, all of my thoughts and all my words should be acceptable in his sight. You know, I don't need another reason than that. Jesus saved me. That ought to be enough of a reason for all of us to want to say the right things and think the right things is, hey, you know what? He didn't have to and he saved me. So think about that. To buy it back. Preacher, why think right? Why talk right? Because Jesus saved you. I don't know a better reason to give you. You know, think about that. Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. All right. If you're a born-again Christian, okay, if you're a born-again Christian, hey, let's all leave here with this thought. If we're a born-again Christian, then let's think like a born-again Christian. And let's talk like a born-again Christian. And preacher, I'm not always going to get it right. Well, when you don't get it right, get right. Okay, and then get right back on track. You say, Lord, I'm going to stop and I'm going to speak a little slower and I'm going to stop letting the devil take my mind down the wrong direction. And if I catch myself letting him lead me astray mentally, I'm going to stop right there and say, Lord, I need your help right now. Lord, I can't do it without your strength. You're my strength. And I know you're my redeemer. So please, I'm asking you as my rock, my boulder, as my redeemer, as the one who bought me back, please help me to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. What a challenge for us. What a challenge. Don't you love that God not only gives you a challenge in the Bible, but he always comes alongside to give us the help that we need to meet the challenge. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us. Boy, we've taken a journey. It just seems like, Lord, literally, it was a few days ago and we started into January, and the preacher stood up and said, we're going to take a trip, we're going to take a journey, and we're going to work our way down through one psalm, and we're going to try to get to a destination. And here we are, Lord. Boy, time goes by so quick. And Lord, I hope, dear God, that during this time we've started, met the challenge of a Bible reading plan, and we're implementing that, doing that. I pray that for many, for the first time, they've put together a prayer list and they're using that. Lord, we talk about this idea of fasting. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in the closing days. If we've not done it, just to say, you know what, I'm gonna spend a day fasting before the Lord and asking him for help. And we work our way through this, God. And Lord, thank you for helping us. We sure can't do this without you. And prone to wander, the song the leader wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It just seems like so many things are pulling us in so many directions. And then we got to fight this dual nature and the battle that we fight within ourselves. And then the devil, he piles on. And the world's always there. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we try to live out the Christian life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.